General Assistant Department, number one speaking.
Hello, this is number two.
Pick it out.
Excuse me?
No, not on your life, my friend. The maker of Benson and Hedges cigarettes invites you to lean back, light up a cigarette, and eavesdrop on the lives of the men who have the answer to any question. Usually it's, I don't know. They are
the best of the ministry.
Benson and Hedges. One of the great things in life you can always enjoy. Smooth, satisfying, pure gold. Benson and Hedges, when only the best will do. And isn't that all the time?
Now today in the General Assistance Department, we find Executive Richard Lamb keeping up with the tempo of modern life.
It won't be long, Mildred. It's nearly finished.
Well, what's the idea anyway? What are you doing?
I'm doing my thing, Mildred. This is my new scene.
There's something inside me that's just got to come out.
Well, I wish it had come out without making so much noise. When you've got that thing on, I can't hear when I've come to the end of a line on my typewriter.
But can't you see you're at the end?
Oh, touch typing. Don't look at our work, Mr. Lamb.
I can believe that.
Besides, I don't like having to keep on looking up for my library book.
I see. So that's why the whole of Chapter 5 of Fanny's Wild Night Out was typed into your copy of the Willis and Sewage Report.
Well, I've got to do something to pass the time, haven't I? There hasn't been much going on here lately. And I think there ought to be something more to life than making cups of tea.
Tea? Tea? Did anyone say tea? 6 slumps, Mildred, and warm the pot first, if you don't mind. Eh? Thank you.
Right here, Miss Lennox-Brown. Oh, by the way.
Yes, Mildred?
Good morning.
Yes, of course. Good morning, Mildred.
Good morning, number one.
Good morning, number two. To say nothing of good heavens, what is that all over your desk there?
Well, that's my record player.
But, my dear chap, rules and regulations number 264, paragraph 2, amendment 392, stroke 81, stroke 5640 is perfectly clear on that point. The replaying of phonographic material is not allowed during office hours.
I'm sorry, number one.
I don't know what can have got into you.
Well, whatever it is, it's trying to get out. That's why he's doing his thingy.
Yes, well, clear it away, number two, if you don't mind. We have work to do.
Work?
But, of course, we don't get paid for nothing, you know.
What kind of work?
Well, there's the, what about that Stately Homes Commission thing? I haven't seen that for a few months, have we?
Oh, do you mean that huge sheet of paper listing all the stately homes of England? The thing about as big as a tablecloth?
Yes, that's it. Where is it?
Being used as a tablecloth. Mildred's got it.
Oh, well, there's not much point in turning the place upside down to get at it, is there? I think I'll leave a bit earlier and have a decent lunch break for a change. The General Assistant Department, Lennox Brown, leaving.
Leaving, Lennox Brown.
Leaving no stone unturned, say Gregory.
Very funny you should say that, Lennox Brown. You're going to turn quite a number of stones shortly. What are you doing with that survey from the Stately Homes Commission?
It's been tabled, Sir Gregory.
Oh, good. Well, get it out and find something suitable to sell to an American millionaire. He wants one he can pull down and reassemble stone by stone and brick by brick on his cattle ranch.
Certainly, Sir Gregory. I'll just make a note. Hang on. One, a stately home for one American millionaire. What size, by the way?
Oh, he's about 6 foot 2 inches and weighs about... What on earth do you want to know that?
No, no. It's the size of the house, Sir Gregory.
Oh, nothing too big, nothing too pretentious, you know, about 40 or 50 rooms, something like that.
I see, 40 or 50 rooms. That should make quite a pleasant residence for him, shouldn't it?
Residence? He's got a residence. He wants this to use as changing rooms next to his swimming pool. Now, get on with this, Felix Brown. Find something suitable and see the job through. And Lennox Brown.
Don't worry, Sir Gregory. We won't make a muck of it.
I simply wish to issue a warning, Lennox Brown. If I catch you or your demolishers within 100 miles of Pitkin Towers, I will do you irreparable damage.
Yes, sir. Well, don't worry, Sir Gregory. I
will show you where you could carry a pickaxe and still leave your hands free.
Right between the shoulder blades, Sir Gregory. Yes, yes, and so thank you for your call, Sir Gregory. And do give my kind regards to Lady Batlick. Lady Picker. Oh, dear, we've been cut off. Hello, Mildred.
Yes, Mr. Lennox Brown.
It's time you change the tablecloth.
Right here, Mr. Lennox Brown. I'll bring this one in. Oh, we've made that lovely tablecloth with this Stately Holmes report.
We have to find a stately home for an American millionaire to set up on his cattle ranch.
Oh, does he want it wrapped up and taken away, or will he have it sent? Rather good, that, wasn't it, number one?
There is no time to be facetious, number two. This has to be very, very carefully thought out. Now, where's the 40 to 50 room list?
Here you are.
Yes.
Now, how about this one? Mildew Hall, mm-hmm. Bucks. 45 bedrooms, one bathroom. Unlimited supply of cold water. Can be supplied with or without ghost.
Ah, I see. Well, not bad, but we've got to be fair to everybody, haven't we? Now, hold the list up against the door, will you, number two?
You want to see them all at a glance?
No, I want to see which one this dart thinks it should be. Sorry about that, number two. Nicked you, did I?
Nicked me? You've impaled me.
No, come. Come, my dear chap. You must learn to accept such minor mishaps as among the hazards of life. Now, let's see what else we've got besides your finger. Oh, yes, very appropriate. Blood letters hauled. A snip at £250,000. Have you got any winter woolies, number two?
Yes, why?
Pack them. We're heading up north to blood letters.
All right, now then. Now, settle down. Now then, we are here today.
I'm gone tomorrow.
That'll do, Councillor Aspin. We'll have no advertising, if you please. Anyway, you're the only undertaker we've got, so you don't need to advertise. As I was saying, we are here today to formulate plans to deal with these Londoners who are coming up here to take away part of our noble heritage. Blood let us all.
Yeah.
I will now call on our worthy mayor, Alderman Trumbull, for his views. Alderman Trumbull. Well, come on, then. Don't just sit there squirming in your ermine. Get up and talk.
Well, I'm too hot in me robes.
Well, stand up and maybe the extra altitude will cool you down. Go and say something. Tell us what you think.
All right, then. Fellow councillors. I know I shouldn't have had that last dungeon.
All right, I'll handle it. You sit down and count the links in your chain.
There's 25. I've counted them already.
Well, just sit down and listen. Now then, as Elder Alderman of the Borough of Woodletters, it is my duty to warn this council that we are in danger of losing our famous landmark, Blood Letters All.
Oh, I know.
Are we going to stand by and watch this noble edifice taken down stone by stone and shipped off to America? Well, the time has come to demonstrate our national pride, to show them that we're going to keep what's ours. Besides, there's a lot of meat goes from all my butcher shop to blood letters all. I mean, you wouldn't like to see my assistants put out of work, would you?
No.
Well, what are we going to do about it, then? Well, come on, you've got to have something under your cock that's apart from air cream.
Let's sell them the old workhouse.
Sell them the old workhouse? They're after a state meal, not a workhouse.
Well, we don't have to tell these fellas from London which is which, though, do we?
Come. I know what we'll do. We'll show them the workhouse and tell them it's blood let us all.
That's what I just said.
No, well, not exactly, but you were on the right lines for once. Now then, what do you all think of my idea?
But it's empty. There's nobody living there.
Well, I know we've put a bit of furniture in and a few of us can act as servants and such like.
But somebody will have to pretend to be Lord Bloodletter himself.
Well, I was coming to that, wasn't I? Now then, who can it be? It'll have to be one of us.
I think I'll go and lie down in my car.
I've got it. Who else could play the part of Lord Bloodletter better than Mayor Trumbull? Congratulations, Your Worship. You've been elected.
That's all very well, but
there's nothing to it. All you have to do is put on a different voice.
How do you do that?
Well, you take your teeth out for a start and see what happens.
All right. I can't see what difference it makes.
You should be where I'm sitting.
Hang on while I put my teeth back on. Yeah, if I'm going to be Lord Bloodletter, I'll need a butler.
Ah, well, I think I'll go and see if they need any help in the shop, then, you know.
I propose Alderman Crabshaw for butler.
Now, just a minute, you worship.
Congratulations, Alderman Crabshaw. You've been elected.
Ah, that's awfully well. I mean, I can't.
But there's nothing to it. All you have to do is put on a different voice. Try taking your teeth out for a start.
Well, they don't come out.
Do like that fella on the telly, him with the funny walk.
Oh, you mean the one who talks like this?
That's him, yes!
Ah, well, all right then, but can I make a suggestion?
What, already? It didn't take you long to get into character, did it?
Benson and Hedges. One of the great things in life you can always enjoy. Smooth, satisfying, pure gold. Benson and Hedges. When only the best will do. And isn't that all the time?
Well, this is it, number two. Now, I wonder how we get to Bloodletter's Hall.
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. Would it be Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lum from London?
Yes, it would indeed.
His worship sent me to take you up to workhouse. That is the manor house. You know, the Bloodletter's Hall.
Oh, that's splendid. We didn't really expect to be met.
Well, we had to pick you up to make sure nobody else did. I mean, to make sure that we had to get you to the hall all right, didn't we? Now, this way, gentlemen. It's the station wagon over the road there.
I say, number one, isn't this nice of Lord Bloodletter sending transport for us?
Yes. Pity it doesn't have any seats, though, isn't it?
Yes, I know. Must be the shooting break, eh?
Shooting break. Yes, of course. Well done, number two.
That's why there are all these bloodstains on the floor. Yes, Lord Bloodletter must be a very good shot.
There's just one thing I can't understand, though.
What's that?
Why does it have Choose Crabshaw's Choice Cuts lettered down the side?
Surely that's obvious, isn't it? It makes it easy to find in a car park.
Good day, gentlemen. Welcome to Bloodletter's Hall. His worship, his lordship will be down shortly.
Well, there's no hurry, no hurry. We'll look around whilst we're waiting.
By the way, is that inscription over the doorway taken from the family crest? Which inscription is that, sir?
Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
No. That's his lordship's sense of humour, you know. Very droll his lordship is.
Very droll indeed.
Well, now, if it's out you want...
oh, dear. My voice is going. I must be catching a cold. What I wanted to say was, is there anything you'd like me to show you while I'm here?
You answer that, number one.
I don't think so. Thank you very much.
Very good, sir. And I'll tell his lordship you're waiting.
I say, number two... Number two, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, some people would call him weird. Others would call him...
No, not the butler. Not the butler, number two, it's the place.
Oh.
I didn't mind having to sit on the floor of the car, but having to sit on the floor here is a bit much, isn't it?
You know, number one, if I didn't know differently, I'd say this place reminded me of a workhouse.
A workhouse? A workhouse, number two.
Yes. Good day, gentlemen. Good day. Welcome to my ancestral abode.
Good day, my lud.
Not me, lud, number two. You only say that when you're in court.
That's the only place I've ever met a lud before.
Lord Bloodletter, may I present Mr. Richard Lamb, my number two, and I am Roland Lennox Brown, and we are from Whitehall.
Splendidly said. This is my wife, Sarah. Lady Sarah, that is.
How do you do?
Well, gentlemen, how do you like the place? Cozy, isn't it? Cozy.
Well, it seemed a little bleak to us.
Right?
No. Well, that is cozily bleak, of course. But I suppose it looks different under the lights.
What lights?
No lights?
Well, we go to bed early, you see. After a hard day's hunting and shooting and fishing, Ulster lords live a very full life.
You see, it's up to us to make a recommendation to purchase, you see.
Well, help yourselves. You'll find that the inmates, our last guests, have left everything in order.
Except the plumbing.
Yeah, and when you come to the main bedroom...
That's the one with the bed in it.
That's right. You can't miss it. Well, inside there, you'll find a cabinet that's worth close examination. Like I said, help yourself.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lord Bloodletter, and we'll see you later.
Yeah, did you hear someone saying
either that or it was the wind? It does some funny tricks here, does the wind?
I know. Yeah. I was going round a corner yesterday when it caught me, right between the west wing and the back passage.
Hey, you're right, you know. It isn't the wind. It is someone going...
Ah, it's me. I've been going at you for the last 5 minutes.
What for?
What for? To find out if everything's going to plan. Where are them ministry men gone?
They're going to have a look around.
On their own?
Why not? They've nothing to hide. Apart from something I left on purpose for them to find.
Hey, it's a splendid place. This number two is simply splendid.
Particularly that main bedroom and the cabinet inside it.
And the stuff that was inside that. Help yourselves, he said.
And we did. I say, number one, aren't there rather a lot of stairs here? I mean, we've been climbing up for hours.
Oh, no, it's a very big house, number two. You've got to keep going.
Yes. But have you noticed we aren't moving?
But of course we're moving. We're heading for the summit. Huh? Why? Because it's there. Yeah. Up there. Yeah.
And... It's the stairs that are moving and not us.
Number two, have you been drinking?
Yes. Serve you.
Hello.
It's the rescue party, number two.
Hello. Send us and burn it up with brandy, will you?
No, send two and burn it.
Mr. Lamb, do you know where you are?
Yeah, we're on the world's longest staircase.
That isn't a staircase. It's a treadmill.
I say, number one, we are two silly billies. This is where we came in.
This is where we get off. Now, number two, I want to tell you, this is the finest indoor exercise ever devised. Every home should have one.
Right now, is there any other part of the house you'd like to see, gentlemen?
No, absolutely not, unless... Do you have any more rooms with those cabinets?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, pity. Ah, oh, Lord Bloodletter, I'm happy to tell you that we will recommend the purchase of this delightful home by an American buyer without reservation.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's splendid. Absolutely splendid.
Yes, and did you say £250,000?
That is correct.
We'll stick another £50,000 for goodwill. Jolly good.
Excellent. By the way, there's just one thing.
Oh, and what's that, Bloodletter, old boy?
Well, the title deed should show the original name of the property as Dostown House. If the bill of sale could be made out similarly.
Oh, yes. Oh, only with pleasure. Dostown House. It sounds like a workhouse. Sicilian.
Ridiculous.
Well, we've got to get back to London. Come along, number two. Goodbye, Lord Bloodletter, and do give my kind regards to Lady B, will you?
Oh, come in.
Good morning,
Mr. Gregory. Ah, Lennox Brown. Allow me to congratulate you on an excellent piece of work. The minister is very pleased indeed. I went up to Bloodletter's myself yesterday. I must say that I confirm your choice. The hall is admirable in every way. Pity, of course, to have to find another home for those tapestries.
Tapestries?
And all those priceless carpets.
Carpets?
Yes. Say nothing of that magnificent, irreplaceable furniture. Bloodletter himself wasn't there yesterday, but I've asked him to come round this morning to sign the papers. Ah, this could be Bloodletter now. Come in.
Hello. I'm Bloodletter. Anyone here called Pipkin?
Oh, do come in, Lord Bloodletter. I'm Pipkin. Lennox Brown and Lamb here, of course, you know, don't you?
Do I? Where was it? Wimbledon or London? I say, what a frightening good noise. Will you take me?
But you're not Lord Bloodletter. He's a little man with glasses who goes...
I say, that's another funny noise. Will you teach me that one, too?
One moment. You are Lord Bloodletter of Bloodletter's Hall.
Absolutely, old boy. Unless Mummy's been telling me beastly lies all my life.
Then who, Lennox Proud, have you been dealing with?
Don't you mean with whom have I been dealing, Sir Gregory?
I'll deal you in shreds to the pigeons if you don't tell me what's been going on.
It was like this, Sir Gregory. We were taken to this place in Bloodletter's. It isn't really Bloodletter's Hall, by the way. It was Dossdown House to start with. And then we...
Dossdown House? That's the old workhouse. We've been trying to get rid of it for years.
A workhouse? A workhouse? What I got an awful feeling
to... A workhouse? A workhouse for which you have agreed to pay £300,000 and to remove to America?
It's got a genuine treadmill, Sir Gregory.
Lord Bloodletter. Lord Bloodletter, forgive me for trespassing upon your family name. But you are about to witness a bloodletting such as it has never been before. Close the windows and lock the door.
Eagle, Mr. Lamb, you still look exhausted. And it's 3 months ago now. Oh, you don't even have the energy to do your thingy anymore.
I know, Milchus. But if you'd had to do what Sir Gregory made us do, crawl all over Bloodletter Hall, numbering every brick and every stone and everything in it, so that it could be demolished and then put up again in America, you'd feel the way I look. The way he looks, too.
Morning, Mildred. Morning, number two.
Morning, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Mildred.
I know, Mr. Lennox Brown. The kettle's on.
Oh. Good. Put the radio on, too, would you, Mildred? Maybe there's some news to cheer us up. Sir Gregory might have fallen off his horse or something.
And that concludes our turn poem for euphonium, cymbals, and washboard. And now here is the news read by Mortimer Thrip. Great excitement prevailed in Bull Neck Run, Arizona today when cattle baron Mervyn B. Panhandle completed the re-erection of Bloodletter's Hall, historic seat of the Lancashire family of Bloodletters. Speaking at the opening ceremony, Mr. Spyrus H. Gluck, America's foremost architect, said, "This proves that we are centuries behind the times. This is a new concept coming to us through the mist of years from those brilliant English master builders who are now proved to be indisputably the first to have put the cellars at the top of a house and the attics at the bottom."
I think I've heard enough. I've heard enough. Number two. Where did the numbering of the bricks and stones start?
At the bottom.
I see. And the master plan?
At the... top.
And you know where we are now, don't you, number two?
Yes, number one. In the middle.
Benson and Hedges, one of the great things in life you can always enjoy. Smooth, satisfying, pure gold. Benson and Hedges, when only the best will do. And isn't that all the time?
On the treadmill tonight is the men from the ministry with John Simpson and Roger Service, also tearing the place apart with Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Leon, and Pat Simpson. Join the men from the ministry at this time next week for another half-hour radio smoke break, brought to you by the makers of Benson and Hedges cigarettes.
Tonight's Men from the Ministry was written and produced by Tom Meehan. We had a lot of fun and hope you did too. Joining us again next Saturday night at 9? Great. See you then. Good night.